You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
It is your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Wednesday, the 3rd of July 2024. The Australian share market rose today by 0.3%. We'll have the details with Mark Gardner from MPC Markets. But first, to economics and the retail sector, where shoppers are continuing to bring forward their purchases to take advantage of early end of financial year promotions as retailers heavily discount items to drum up interest. The Bureau of Statistics says retail sales rose by a better than expected 0.6% in May, following a decline in the previous month, but it's still down on the November peak. So what are they buying? Well, clothing and footwear the most, up 1.6% in the month, followed by household goods, food and the other retail category like cosmetics and sport. But consumers are eating out less and shopping less at department stores. And economists say the RBA will likely look through this headline result. One of them is Belinda Allen from the Commonwealth Bank, and I spoke with her earlier. Belinda, just how hard are retailers having to work at the moment to get shoppers to spend? I mean, to what extent do they have to discount, for example?
So the May retail trade print definitely showcased that discounting does draw consumers in. I think if we reflect on the past 12 months of consumer spending behaviour, discounting has worked. We saw that with the Black Friday sales in November. We've seen it again in May. But also, I think what we've seen over the past 12 months is consumers are willing to spend if there's a big ticket item they're interested in. We saw that with the FIFA Women's World Cup. We saw it with the concert series from Taylor Swift and Pink in February as well. So two things for me, discounting works. And if consumers really want to spend their money on something, that draws them in as well.
Are they just, though, also bringing forward their purchases? And if so, what's that saying about the underlying trend in the space?
So trend consumer spending soft. If we look at growth over the past year in retail sales, it's really only up about 1.5%. So with inflation running at 4%, population growth running at 2.5%, that tells us that per person retail spending is weak. And that is no surprise when we look at the cost of living pressures that consumers are facing in terms of higher rents, high mortgage repayments. So some of it definitely is spending brought forward. And generally what we then see is retail spending can be quite choppy. So strong months can be followed by weaker months. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see that this time around as well.
So when the RBA looks at this, what do you think they'll be thinking? Because when they looked at the last inflation number, which was just an indicator, I think the new RBA deputy governor said, hey, that's just one data point. There's many other data points that we need to look at.
So retail trade for May was kind of the first print that everyone's watching ahead of the August board meeting. It did come in a little bit stronger than expected, but it's not necessarily good news, given it really was driven by discounting behaviour, which really is what is getting people to spend on discretionary items at the moment. So it really illustrates the weakness that consumers are facing right now. I think the bigger test for the Reserve Bank will be the labour market print for June, which we get out in a couple of weeks. And then, of course, that all-important second quarter inflation print, which we get out in late July. So today's news on retail spending, although it was stronger than expected at 0.6% for the month, I think it highlights that consumers are very tactical at the moment. They're very savvy, and discounting really brings them in given the cost of living pressures we're seeing.
And I know that this data was for May, but given you're a bank and Australia's biggest bank, are there any insights you can give us into more recent perhaps trends of how consumers are spending right now?
No early insights for June. I think just reflecting on what also we know about May is we also continue to see pressure being felt by renters in particular. So there's no one story for the consumer at the moment. Yes, overall is weak, but we're seeing renters face more pressure than those with a mortgage and those that own their home outright. And we don't really anticipate there to be any material pickup from these income tax cuts and electricity rebates. It'll be quite marginal. We are expecting a lift in spending through the later stages of this year, but it's really going to take interest rate cuts to get consumer spending back up to really around trend levels in the economy.
That's Belinda Allen there from the Commonwealth Bank. So with reporting season around the corner, what do these latest numbers say about the state of those listed retail companies? For more on that, I spoke with Lachlan Halloway from Morningstar. Lachlan, first of all, how would you describe the state of the retail sector at the moment?
Yeah, look, things are really tough out there. So, I mean, today's May retail figure, look, was a bit stronger probably than the market was expecting, but the underlying trend is still really soft. And what we saw in May was that the turnover uptick was really a function of retailers discounting earlier than they would usually do and harder than they would do. And that's really reflective of things being tough, consumers being discerning, and retailers having to compete on price.
We saw today Booktopia, an ASX-listed company, fall into voluntary administration. What are you expecting from retailers now come reporting season and why?
Yeah, so I think the 2024 reporting season is probably going to draw the line on a really tough year for retailers. They've had to battle soft turnover at the same time as their wage costs have been lifting, and that's obviously a big earnings crunch on that front. So we think things are going to continue to be soft for the foreseeable future, but on the horizon, there are some positive things. We've got tax cuts coming. The labour market is still fairly strong, although softening a bit, and wages growth should help kick up turnover. But again, the underlying pulse is soft.
So what do you see as their biggest challenges right now?
I think it's that wages piece. So if you've got something like flat turnover, but your wage costs are lifting by last year 6%, and then this year about 4% on the award rate, that's really tough. That's a big earnings squeeze there. So I think that's going to be the big challenge again in fiscal 25.
We talk often about how tough the retail space is doing it at the moment, especially when you compare it back to, say, a year ago or 2 years ago. But didn't they really just get a bit of a sweetener during the COVID times? I mean, how would retailers have performed if we look at it pre-COVID then?
Yeah, so I think, look, you're right to point out that COVID was a big bump. There was a lot of money thrown around and that was helpful. There's a lot of pulled forward demand as well for things like household goods. Everybody needed a new computer and redid their living room. That was a positive. Now we're coming off the boil back to sort of trend levels. So again, we've got this pulling back at the same time we have a cost of living crunch and wage pressure, and that means earnings challenges.
So what does this mean for investors looking at the share market and looking at retail stocks there? Are there any parts doing well or is it sort of like, are they all being painted the same kind of broad brush?
No, there is value in certain parts of the retail sector. I mean, some of these smaller discretionary retail stocks like Collins Foods, Accent Group, Domino's Pizza and Kogan look like they've probably been oversold, and caught up in this broader bearishness around discretionary retail. And we think there's some value in names like that.
That is Lachlan Halloway from Morningstar.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
And the Australian share market rose today, the 200 up by 0.3% to 7,739. For more, I spoke with Mark Gardner, CEO of MPC Market. Mark, firstly, how did the market respond to the retail sales numbers?
There wasn't too much of a reaction overall, but it's a little bit of a double-edged sword with those retail numbers, obviously, because it cements a potential rate hike, but also then shows some consumer resilience. So we're sort of at the stage in the market now where it can be construed as sort of a little bit negative for both, because it is bringing forward those potential rate hikes.
In general, though, what's your take on the sector? Because we saw today ASX-listed Booktopia fall into administration.
Yeah, look, Booktopia's been close, on the brink for a very long time, I believe, and it's very hard playing against the global players like, Amazon, etc. But look, the sector was up 30% for the financial year against an ASX index that was only up around about the 10% mark. So I think valuations in that sector are very high at the moment, despite the fact that we have very good retailers in Australia, the likes of JB Hi-Fi, which is one of the best in the world per square metre for sales, Wesfarmers, etc. with Bunnings. That sector really is at elevated levels at the moment, particularly when we're looking down the barrel of potentially another rate hike of 25 basis points or alternatively a little bit of slowing in consumer spending overall. So it for us, we're not in that sector at the moment because we just see the risk being a little bit too high. Although, you know, as I said, Australia has some of the best retailers in the world. We'll certainly be looking at some of these companies at lower prices.
Okay. Looking at the market today, which other sectors are driving the gains?
Look, tech got a really favourable overnight lead after Powell spoke in Portugal, basically saying that inflation was, you know, on the path to being under control. The market probably was a touch over-enthusiastic and a little bit buoyant on the back of that because he said that a number of times before. However, you know, we saw the likes of Zip that were up in the buy now, pay later space and, you know, quite a few of the tech names up. But coal also is catching a bit of a bid tone, particularly over the last 5 days, just due to the it's been a fire and explosion at an Anglo-American coal mine in Queensland, which is going to affect supply for the next, for several months. So had the likes of Whitehaven, Stanmore, Yancoal, New Hope all up very strongly over the last week.
Can we explore that Jerome Powell commentary overnight in a bit more detail? Like you mentioned, he spoke in Portugal overnight. Is his commentary all linked to this theme of higher US equities at the moment? Because we saw the S&P 500 and the tech-based NASDAQ also hit record closes once again.
Yeah, look, it is 4th of July week and the peak of US summer, so trading conditions are very thin at the moment. And we do have, obviously, him being a little bit more dovish on inflation has really brought forward, I think there is about a 66% chance of a rate cut in September now that the market's expecting. So that does help those growth and tech stocks over there. What also helped was Tesla beat expectations with their vehicle deliveries as well, and that Tesla was up around about 10% overnight as well. So but it's certainly very much centered in that Magnificent Seven still at this stage.
Finally, where do you see the opportunities for investors?
We're looking at quite a bit, obviously, in the energy space, and also with oil prices drifting higher. Geopolitics always on the radar, but also healthcare. There's a number of really good healthcare names, the likes of ResMed, etc. That are looking at really good value at the moment, and are also non-cyclical. So looking forward over the next sort of 12 to 24 months. You know, if we do have a slowdown of the economy, healthcare names do tends to be one of the better sectors overall in the market.
That's Mark Gardner there from MPC Markets.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.